Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I am John Gay. I'm joined again by Philip Ord from 101 Financial. And Philip, there's so much news out there and so much of it is heavy and some of it gets really kind of esoteric. Like, let's just start off today. I'm going to ask you, how you doing?
You know, I'm loving life right now.
Really?
I am. I actually posted this on Facebook the other day and it was so, am I the only one that's really loving quarantine? and the reasons are, you know, all my clients are at home, so I get to speak to them during the day on the telephone.
All right.
Which means I'm done by 5 o'clock. I don't have to take any evening appointments. Mm-hmm. Consequently, because I'm home earlier, I hop on this I'm a big cyclist. So
yep.
I hop on this virtual cycling app with my friends. Now they're in their garages, their houses, their patios. I'm in my garage. We're all talking over this gamer app called Discord.
Yep.
Our little avatars are riding together up and down these hills. So consequently, my waistline is thinner.
Really?
We're not going anywhere. So my bank account's fatter. Part of that might be that maybe we're living a little, you know, we were living large. We're doing things. We're traveling. And since quarantine happened, I'd have probably taken a couple more ski trips with the kids.
Yeah.
I'd have probably done a couple of business trips. So it's that kind of thing that I'm not paying for. And then what's my American Express bill? I don't even know what that is anymore. So it's kind of bizarre. The truth is, post-COVID, I think, will be somewhere between where it's been, but certainly not to where it was before. And to some of my friends' comments on that post, was life feels a little bit slower and it's good.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, for us, I work out of my home to begin with, so that wasn't a huge change for me. But the biggest change for me was that my wife is now working from home and she has a job in finance. And she bought a laptop desk and a chair from Amazon right before this whole thing hit so that she has set up in our kitchen. So we're at opposite ends of the house working. It's been different having her home, and I love her very much, and I love having her around, and it's great, but the dynamic's been a little bit different, and the story that she, it's a little slightly off-color, but the story that she loves to tell her friends is the first week that she was home working, she was on a conference call with her entire team, which is the three or four people under her and her boss and a few others, and just, I had like a brain cramp, and used to being home alone, I walk out of my office, scratch my belly, and belch. And she stared at me like, are you kidding me right now? And fortunately, she had her video turned off, so they didn't see the scratching the belly part. But I'm used to being home alone, so I'm just like, oh, you're on a call. Sorry about that. And we actually had a pretty good laugh about it. She's a good sport. There was no harm, no foul, but it's become a favorite story as we commiserate about quarantining with all of our couple friends.
That's okay. So some of the things that we've done as a business, right? So part of this quarantine was originally that, and I've mentioned this before, is our heavy investment in tech enabled us to allow everyone to work from home pretty quickly.
Sure.
And to that end, what we do now is that every morning at 9 a.m., we do a Zoom conference call with everyone in the office. Mm-hmm. And it's, what are you doing today? And that way, it's almost like, and I think some businesses did it before anyway, and they call it a same page meeting or a quick, hey, what are we doing today? You know? So we started doing that. And surprisingly enough, we've been really efficient and effective at it. To that point, though, sometimes I'll be getting off riding my bike in the garage, and I'm still wearing my cycling kit, sweaty. And I
probably drenched. Yep.
Yeah. And I get on this Zoom call and, you know, I have two young daughters and for some reason they don't close the bathroom door. So, you know, I'm like, son of a, you know, honey, really? You had to, you can hear the toilet flushing in the background, the water running. It's like, where are you, in the bathroom? So aside from things like that, which is just, like you said, being a good housemate to someone who is working from home. My favorite one is when Leslie's on her call in the morning and invariably we see her cat walking across between the camera and Leslie. So we do that. And the other thing we're doing is we're really utilizing our technology. Mm-hmm. Most recently, we're converting our educational workshops we were doing. we're now going to convert those into webinars, because I think moving forward, I think the environment's going to be different. And if you don't adapt to it early, then you're already late. I mean, as you know already, because you work in a virtual environment yourself, but many financial advisors, we don't.
Yeah.
I literally got off the phone with one of my workshop providers and they go, yeah, but that doesn't work for us. I'm like, why not? They're like, oh, because we actually make money off of the mailing. I'm like, yeah, well, nobody's doing a mailing anymore. So you need to figure that one out.
Yeah.
It's like, in fact, the post office might not be here when we're done unless the government bails them out again.
Right.
And sorry for all those postal people out there, but, you know, it's people are mailing less. Within our office, we switched to DocuSign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing 80% of our work with DocuSign. Otherwise, we go UPS because we're tracking money. So, yeah, we're not using a lot of mail anymore.
I actually get checks from very few of my clients. A couple of them send checks, and I very seldom use credit cards either because I don't want to pay the credit card processing fee. I have a lot of clients pay me by Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. It's an online world now that we're in.
It is. It makes me wonder if this isn't the beginning of the end of the greenback, meaning the dollar, the paper dollar, not the dollar, the currency that it represents, but the actual paper, right?
Let me jump in here for a second, Philip, because I did on the side, I sometimes host private trivia gigs and do weddings and stuff like that.
Oh, that's right. You told me this.
I did a private trivia gig at a residence for a St. Patrick's Day party Saturday, March 14th, or whatever that Saturday was, and before St. Patrick's Day. It was the last public gig that I've done as we record this today here on May 12th. And the gentleman that I did the gig for was very happy and a very, very nice guy, very generous. And he gave me a $100 tip. He handed me a $100 bill. And I have had that $100 bill in my wallet. And the thought process was, I'll hang on to that for, you know, when I'm out and about, if I go to dinner, if I need it or something like that. And I've thought about it. And I said, well, I don't want to go to the ATM because I don't want to touch the buttons on the ATM.
Right?
I don't want to go in the bank. I have had this $100 bill sitting in my wallet untouched for 2 months, and it's rare that I ever take my wallet out nowadays unless I'm buying something online with a credit card. So your point about the paper money going away is very well taken.
You actually bring up pulling your wallet. First of all, I have this thing about hundreds. If I get 100, I won't break it. So I joke that I collect hundreds. And so anytime we're out with friends and somebody throws down a $100 bill, I'm like, oh, I'll get the tab and I'll snag the 100, you know? And so I end up with a few $100 bills here and there.
First world problems.
Right. So today, for instance, is Rachel's birthday here in the office. And I actually dug in my wallet for the first time today to give some cash. And I'm like, oh, I can't remember the last time. Oh, thank God my wallet was in there.
Yeah.
Right. I don't remember the last time I went in there to get it. Usually it's, oh, I go to lunch. I take my cash wallet. No, I can't remember the last time I spent cash. I can't remember the last time I went to the ATM. I'm depositing any checks I get by photograph, you know.
Sure, but the phone.
Yeah.
You mentioned also, you know, the credit card bill. I have paid off so much because I'm not going out. Like, my wife and I love going to dinner with friends of ours. We're not going out. We are ordering our groceries online with Shipt that comes to our front door. And that's about the only thing that we're spending money on. Occasionally, I have a business expense, but it's so rare that we're spending. I love takeout. We're getting takeout maybe once a week and trying to support some local businesses that we like. But that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not spending money on anything.
Isn't that crazy? I got to admit, when I'm looking at just the amount of money that we're spending on lifestyle stuff that we're not doing anymore.
Yeah.
And so this goes to, where do we think things are going to be when we are allowed to come back out of our hibernating quarantine zones? And I think the reality is it's somewhere in the middle of where it was. And I know, like, a lot of families with small kids were in, like, activity after activity after activity. And a buddy of mine owns a bike shop he's a buddy because I buy bikes.
Yeah.
So when this first happened, he was really worried.
Yeah.
You know, the last time 08 happened, he was sitting on a ton of inventory. He couldn't move. So he was extremely worried. I saw him 3 weeks ago and business is booming. It's like every day is their 4th of July sale, which is their busiest day of the year.
Hmm.
And what it is that families are buying bicycles.
That's interesting.
They can't go to the gym. The kids aren't in activities. They need to get them active. They can't play soccer. They can't play baseball. They can't do any of that stuff. I mean, my kids are gymnasts. they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what we've done? We go bike riding.
It's funny. My wife and I are not quite that ambitious to be getting on bicycles yet. But as I've mentioned to you in previous podcasts, my wife and I are big dog lovers. And our first dog passed away in January. And we've been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. You know, this just doesn't feel like our house without a dog in it. And if we get a dog, not only are we saving a dog from, you know, not being able to be cared for and rescuing an animal, but we are having a reason now to get out and leave the house and get some exercise every day. So every afternoon, we take our dog out for a good 45, 60 minute walk around the neighborhood, and it gets us moving, which has been so important. Obviously, you know, the benefits of having a dog and the psychological being stuck at home are off the charts as well. But it's a good way to get us moving and exercising.
Well, yeah. And now next time you can blame it on the dog when she's on the Zoom call that it wasn't you, it was the dog, right?
I do have to laugh about the story of your daughters in the bathroom, because the studio that I'm in right now, I built off of my basement, not realizing that it is right below our bathroom. So when my wife knows that I'm down in the basement, she will be very cautious and say, and, you know, she might text me and say, is it okay to flush?
I'm sure your wife is going to be thrilled to hear this on the internet later. So now that we're all in the doghouse, ba-dum-bum, one of us more than the others.
Oh, well played. Thank you.
So, you know, some of the things that we're doing as financial advisors is that us as an office at 1&1 Financial, we started looking at what is this post-corona world, not post-corona, but post-quarantine world going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually built a portfolio. I had one of our money managers do a ton of the research. They're way smarter than I am. And there's about 14 of them. And I said, look, I think we need to build a separately managed account, which is, it's a type of account with only stocks in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want, you know, I don't want the businesses that are hurting right now. And I know that's very sad, but ultimately I'm here to make money for my clients. So we've built this portfolio, and I got to tell you, the numbers that we're seeing in terms of how it's performing in the market is actually quite incredible. So this is just one of the things. So this conversation that you and I are having about what do we like and what do we dislike about it is also part of the conversation about, well, how do we position money moving forward? Because it's going to have an impact, right?
I don't want to ask you to reveal anything confidential, but as you talk about building this portfolio, what kind of criteria are you using, or have your managers used to figure out what kind of companies go into this portfolio?
Started out with basically they've got to be in the Russell 3000.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to be a reasonably sized company. We started with businesses we didn't want, and nothing against any of them, to be clear. It just is what it is. So we've eliminated oil and gas. I mean, nope. My wife's getting 2 months to the gallon. I mean, she does not put gas in her car anymore.
And us too.
And consequently, I'm thinking, why do I drive such a nice car? I'm not spending any time in it. Nobody sees me drive it. You know, this.
Yeah.
So we've eliminated automakers. Obviously, hotels.
Mm.
Also, airlines, cruise lines.
Yeah.
Commercial real estate, specifically office.
Somebody working from home, yeah.
Right. I myself was about to sign a lease on a bigger space, and for one reason or another, they delayed it by a few days. That ended up being,
oh, wow.
I was like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, dodging this 5-year lease coming at me. And now my staff works from home. The reps work from home. I rattle around in this office by myself thinking, thank goodness it's not twice the size.
Yeah.
So if that's my perspective as a small business owner, how many other people have that perspective as well? So we eliminated those. And then we said, well, what's going to be big winners? Well, Your wife already brought a laptop, video cameras for Zoom. Zoom's a big winner. Mm-hmm. GoToMeeting, bandwidth providers, right? Whoever your trunk line is. How about voice over IP? Biotech.
Mm.
So biotech specifically, because they're trying to find a cure, whether it's a cure, a treatment, or a vaccine, remains to be seen, right?
Right.
How about Clorox bleach, right? Anything to do with cleaning products.
Those wipes are worth their weight in gold at this point.
Right, if you can get them, right? You might have to trade that $100 bill for a couple of wipes one day. So you keep that in your wallet.
Now you're thinking, there you go.
Right? You were thinking food, lunch, dinner, whatever, but how about some sanitation?
How about Clorox wipes and Purell? There you go.
Exactly. So what was some of the other ones? So Walgreens, CVS, pharmacies.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What's interesting is that Uber has adapted really well, because where they've dropped off on driving people around, they're now delivering food through Uber Eats. Netflix, right. Big winner. How about this one? Universal Studios released Trolls 2 in a premiere virtual environment, which basically means it's coming out today in the theaters, not that anywhere open, but if it was coming out today in the theaters, you can get it online and pay a premium for it for now.
Right.
Before it's generally released to the Netflix, the Apple TVs, or wherever it went to, right?
Mm-hmm.
They made more money in 3 weeks on this virtual release than Trolls 1 did in 5 months in the movie theaters.
See, I didn't know those numbers, and that's really interesting. The only part of that story I'd heard is that AMC Theaters nationwide was furious with Universal and potentially thinking about not carrying some Universals after they felt undercut by doing this. But who the heck is going to go to a movie theater right now?
Right? I hate to say it, but they are not on our list.
I wouldn't imagine so.
Don't get me wrong. I love to eat out and I love to socialize, but any kind of environment like that is not on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things that came up on there. So in the future, we're looking at Callaway Golf.
Ah.
Because you can play golf in social distance, right? That's not currently in the portfolio because you can't go play golf yet. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe as of today.
Some states.
How about looking forward, the RV industry, right? If you want to go on vacation.
Take all the trips you want. I have a friend that that sold his house and has been driving the country in an RV for years. Doesn't have to get on planes, doesn't have to get on a bus or a train. Everything they need is right there.
Yep. And basically, I joke and I'm like, hey, you know what petri dish you're in. It's your own, right? You know who slept in
but
that.
But that's just like staying home.
Agreed.
It's like staying home, except the scenery changes.
Yeah. So when people start vacationing again, they may come back and say, okay, let's just buy an RV. I don't want to hop on a plane. I don't want to go through a terminal. I don't want to stay in a hotel because I don't know who's been there. Now, that might not be for a really long time, but there's obviously opportunity in there somewhere. So this is the kind of forward-looking thinking we're doing in this corona world that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that at some point in time, there's going to be a resurgence of make it in America. That might be a hashtag that comes up.
Hmm.
Not to be, this isn't about political statements or whatever, but why do we want to reward the country that gave this to the world by making sure they're a wealthy giant? You know, I think personal protective gear should be made here in the United States. I think anything mission critical for us needs to be here in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean to say that if a company wants to export this stuff, they can make it wherever they want.
Yeah.
But if we use it here in the US, I think it needs to be back here in the US. So I think down the road, we'll see more manufacturing coming back to the US, which might mean that some things are a little bit more expensive. But I'd say that a lot of people are like, you know what? I'm okay paying a few bucks more for something that's made here.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Just some of the long-term thought processes. And I say this, I have 2 children I've adopted from China, so I've got a special place in my heart for China. But when it comes to the success of our nation, I'm a little bit more internalist in that respect.
I want to come back to something we talked about earlier, Philip, which is the idea of what the workplace might look like going forward. So, you know, my wife, because she works in the finance department, she and her team are meeting over Google Hangouts every day. They're sharing screens. They're being just as, if not more productive than they were in the office. And they're, given her industry, there are some folks who will need to physically be there in the office when they open back up, because there's certain things that can only be done in the office. But her team is in absolutely no rush. They might not go back to summer, fall. And why use all that overhead? Why not work from home a couple days a week? The possibilities are endless. In fact, my cousin's kid had his bar mitzvah over this past weekend. They did the bar mitzvah on Facebook Live, and they did a cocktail hour on Zoom afterwards so we could all congratulate him. It was really something else. I think a lot of folks that may not have been using this technology frequently have been forced to learn how to use it, and it's now a lot more prevalent. You mentioned Zoom and others.
Agreed. I know myself personally, every Friday night I've been hosting. I started because I didn't know how to use Zoom. So I'm like, oh, I'll guinea pig on my friends. So
yes,
I set up a Zoom cocktail party. And the first one, we had 4 families on there and it was kind of fun. now it's been every single Friday night at 6 p.m. It's anywhere from 3 to 4 hours long. We have 12 households on there.
Wow.
From all over the country.
Do you play games too, or just have a conversation?
Mostly it's conversation, but you know, when you heard me, when I heard you talking about trivia, I'm like, maybe I could hire John to do some trivia for our Friday night Zoom.
Absolutely. There's also built-in games in Zoom now too.
I'm going to have to learn, because I mean, we've had themed cocktails. We've had themed nights. So 2 weeks ago, one of the ladies is like, I'm bored out of my mind. I need to make this fun. She delivered face paint and a black bulb to everybody's house.
Huh.
So we came home from work and plugged in the black bulb and painted our faces. And we were all sitting there glow in the dark. My kid painted my face. She painted hers. Somebody else's wife used to be a clown. So she painted her husband, and it was pretty cool. I mean, we had a great time. And then the drink of the night was anything with tonic in it, because tonic glows a little bit in black light. So that was our theme.
Oh, cool.
Last weekend, or last Friday, we did Cinco de Mayo. So anything tequila-based, and you better have some guacamole and chips. And and we sat there and we chewed the fat for, you know, the better part of 3 hours. So it's been really interesting, and it's been connecting us with people that we wouldn't ordinarily have connected with because of this. So I think you're right. And, you know, as a business owner, and I don't want to say this too loud, but I'm actually considering keeping this working from home rotation. We're not suffering as a business with everyone working from home. The only thing I got to scratch my head on is that not one of my employees has asked for a personal day since this quarantine started. So, you know, it's one of those, does that mean they're taking them? I just don't know it. Or is it that their kids are at home and there's no doctors to take them to, dentists, optometrists, you know, school, whatever. So I have a feeling it's the latter, not the prior, but I can't help but think to myself, no personal days, huh?
I think it was either last month or the month before you mentioned, Philip, that you had to get your head around making sure that you knew that your employees were working, because the whole out of sight, out of mind thing. But I find that a lot of folks I know have been more productive while working from home. They don't have to worry about, you know, commuting in or out of the office. The only caveat that I think I've found is, I think over the last couple months, I'm more likely to respond to an email at 7 or 8 p.m. because I don't have as much of that separation of church and state. I need to be better about making work time, and home time, home time.
To your point, I did say that, and I have been proven wrong, you know? And I bring up the whole no personal time just as a anecdote, not as a complaint, to be clear. I just think it's interesting. But no, the reason we started that 9 a.m. Zoom meeting was because I wanted to know what's going on.
Sure.
But now it's worked out really good. We are more productive. We're getting more done. There's better interactivity because more people, I'm like, hey, I'm working on this. Oh, I could chime in on that. So we're getting a lot of collaboration. And yeah, everybody's happier. And I get to go home from work at 5:15, not 7 p.m.
Sure.
So life is good. So I think, like I said, a post-corona world is going to be an interesting one. That being said, though, I don't want to skip over the fact that there are a lot of people that aren't working from home, like your wife or yourself or my wife, myself, or the ladies that work for me. There's a lot of people that have lost their jobs. And yeah. I'm hopeful that the economy will shift, as it always does, and adapt to allow those people to find better work than what they were doing, or different work, as the case may be. So I don't want to gloss over that.
Sure. And I think there could be a lot of opportunities for people as they get that American ingenuity, as people figure out different things to do and different ways to work. And we don't want to be insensitive to those that have fallen on hard times in terms of finance or their health, but there may be opportunities for some folks going forward. And if somebody wants to come talk to you, Philip, or maybe we'll virtually come talk to you as far as getting some financial advice from 101 Financial, what are the best ways to reach you?
You can hit our website, www.oneononefinancial.com. That's with numbers, not spelled out. Or you can call the office, 909-981-1720. And we'll be more than happy to take your call and answer any of your questions you might have. But I got to say, John, I've really enjoyed this conversation. And who knows what's going to happen in the future.
Yep, I'm going to make my 7-foot commute home. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, sounds good, John.
Securities and advisory services offered through Centaurus Financial Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. 1&1 Financial and Centaurus Financial Inc. are not affiliated companies.